I'm Maria Konnikova.
And I'm Nate Silver.
And our new podcast, Risky Business, is a show about making better decisions. We're both journalists who moonlight as poker players, and that's the lens we're going to use to approach this entire show.
We're going to be discussing everything from high-stakes poker to personal questions.
Like whether I should call a plumber or fix my shower myself.
And of course, we'll be talking about the election, too.
Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday. It's an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. I'm having fun. You're having fun. Now let's have a talk. Because here's what we have on tap for this hour. These are just some questions we have to get to. One, as soon as I'm done with this Muslim question, I'll get to the Supreme Court, Clarence Thomas, this latest article that's out. Someone wants to know, why do leftists or former leftists end up leading our movement a lot? Someone wants to talk about college football, Little Debbie snacks. Somebody's mad at Chip Roy. Someone's asking about what questions do you ask primary candidates to see if there are a guy? Oh, we have so much to get to. I'm actually going to try to go. I'm going to try, Chris, to go fast this hour. It's what, Chris? Why don't you? I don't feel like you support me in the way you should. When I say things, I want you just to agree with everything I say, Chris. That's called encouragement, obviously. Gosh. Anyway, the guy asked the question, are Muslims a threat to America and our values? And I will simply, I'll answer it this way. I shouldn't say simply. I'll answer it this way. It depends on what kind of country you want to have. And it depends on the size of the country you want to have. Here's what I mean. If you were going to start your own country and there's an island, and I don't want to say a tiny island, a decent size island, let's say 20 miles by 20 miles. All right. So that's a decent size island. And that's going to be your own country, the Republic of you. And you want to start your own constitution and whatnot. It would probably be better for the unity of the country and overall lasting of the country if the country had really one religion. If Chris started it, it'd be a Jewish island. And there's Jews who occupy the island. And the laws, remember, laws and things like that, we get our sense of morality by the religion of the nation where we're in. We don't just pull that out of the ether somewhere. It comes from religion, right? The religion, whatever your nation's religion is, Christianity, Catholicism, Judaism, Muslim, that is the pole around which the entire culture orbits, the religion of the country. America has a religion. It's gay. America's LGBTQ. That's our religion. That's why everything revolves around that. It's the flags. It's the values. That's now our religion of the country. Saudi Arabia, it's Muslim. Israel, it's Judaism. Many countries in Europe, it's Catholicism. Okay, so on your island, for the people's sake, to get along, it is beneficial for a nation, for the people of a nation, to share as many common values as humanly possible. You don't want cardboard cutouts of people where they're all identical. But it really is helpful for the nation if at least they all start from the same basic baseline. However, life is imperfect and you don't live on an island. Once you get to a country of any significant size, you are going to have other people with other beliefs come into your country and eventually reside there. And let's be frank, you really want to live in a country that is tolerant of other religious beliefs. You do. If you don't, what you'll end up having is a tyranny. You'll have a tyrannical government that oppresses everyone. So you want to have a country that's okay with other values as long as the base values are the same. You can exist in a country where the base values are the same. Where you're going to have problems, it's where we are right now in America. We don't share common values anymore. That's why our country will split up. Now, let's ask, because the question was about Islam, are the Muslims the problem? Well, Muslims, Jews, Christians, I'm not going to do this nice flowery thing where they're all the same and everything's fine and I agree with everything. That's not true. I have my own religious beliefs. You probably have yours. Chris has his. Muslims have theirs. People make their own choices. But the Abrahamic religions, they do share common values whenever they can agree to live with each other. A Muslim family, Muslim families, Jewish families, Christian families, these communities, yes, they've fought a million times. They've also existed beside each other throughout the history of their religions because of the common values. What are those common values? Husband, wife, kids, right, wrong, no stealing, no lying. No, these are basics that allow these people to live together. You can live around Muslims just fine. I know a bunch of them. You can live around Jews, Christians, Catholics, whatever your belief, just fine as long as the common value system are there. What we see, what is tainting our view of things is a couple different things, communism and terrorism. And those two things go hand in hand, to be frank. There's a reason the radical Islamists actually, you can go look this up, this is history, they worked hand in hand with Hitler at the time. They did. You can go look it up. Go look up the Grand Mufti and Hitler. As soon as you get to a radical Islamist thing, and what is the difference between that? What is the difference between your Muslim that you know and a radical Islamist? Well, the Muslim you know, he knows that you're a Christian and you don't believe what he believes, but you share common values and you're okay with each other, and that's fine. The Islamist thinks you should be burned at the stake for what you believe because you're not a friggin' Muslim. Those are two totally different people. It's not a problem in the United States of America to have a Muslim population, a Jewish population, a Christian population, a Catholic population, a Buddhist population, a Hindu population living next to each other so long as they share common values. But what we have in this country, we have an insane communist left that has exploited Muslim immigration to this country. So the most radical elements of Muslim society, their voices get amplified to the max. And now people look and they think that's Islam. Every time you turn on the news, what do you see now? You see a bunch of Muslims in the streets with the kill all the Jews. Well, that doesn't mean that's the majority of Muslims. That doesn't mean that at all. Now, all that said, just so you don't think I'm being pie in the sky, Jesse, I understand that on a long enough timeline, religions generally don't get along with each other because they have different belief systems. There has to be so much overlap with religions. It's difficult to make that happen. But nations have done it several times throughout history. You know who did it? You want to know one of the main people who did it? The Mongols. Did you know that? I understand that, yeah, they killed 40 million people and basically genocided a bunch of people. But did you know the Mongols, they would have mosques set up right next to Christian churches? There were Christian Mongols. There were Muslim Mongols. In fact, the Golden Horde, have you ever heard of the Golden Horde? When the Mongol territories began to split themselves up, the Golden Horde were Muslims. That was an Islamic horde. There were other hordes that were Christian. There were the Muslims simply, or the Mongols simply insisted on it. No. You guys can all do your thing. That's fine. You're going to obviously live underneath our society, and you're going to share our basic values of when we needed to go to war, when we needed to pay taxes and do these things. But no, you worship as you see fit. That's totally fine. That kind of society can exist, at least for a time. We don't live on a 20-mile by 20-mile island where everyone's going to look, talk, act, and believe like you believe or like I believe. And maybe you're sitting there right now. Maybe you're an atheist or maybe you're a pagan. Look, we got pagans. Remember the pagan guy you emailed in or called in? It was, you know, he worships the sun and all this other stuff. Look, if you're a pagan, ideally for your life, you would live on that island with only other pagans. Then everyone shares your worldview at all times. But that's not a realistic prospect for how the world actually works. That may be how we want it to work. That's not how the world works. Sombrero Jesse, as a big Buckeye fan, how do you feel about the Michigan cheating scandal? If it's true, it could be the biggest scandal in sports. Do you think the death penalty would be too much or not enough? I'd love to hear your thoughts. Okay, he's asking about Michigan football. Apparently, they've been cheating to win their games and things like that. And look, I know you think I'm going to give a biased answer because I grew up in Ohio and I'm a big Buckeye fan. I actually support Michigan in this. I support Michigan all the way, and here's why. If you go to school at the University of Michigan, really the only chance you have when you graduate is some sort of a life of crime. So if the school you're going to is teaching you how to be a more efficient criminal, how to skirt the rules, I think that's the best chance a Michigan grad has at any kind of a life. So I support them. And see, I told you I was going to give an unbiased answer down the middle. Now, let's talk about primaries, primary candidates. But first, let's talk about Clarence Thomas. I've been teasing it for an hour. And your cell phone and your laptop. You see, once again, there's a great line from that show, Term Limits, whatever it is. That show with Chris Pratt on Amazon where he looks at the lady's cell phone and he said, that's not a cell phone. That's a tracking device that makes phone calls. Your cell phone, they are listening. They are tracking. They know when you're walking. They listen when you're talking. I didn't mean for that to rhyme, but it worked out well. They're tracking where you drive, what you say. That's why the ads are tailor-made for you. You need to start protecting your security with Silent. S-L-N-T. What is it? They're bags, signal-blocking bags, you place your devices in to protect yourself. SLNT.com/Jesse gets you 15% off. Go get a Silent bag for all your devices now. SLNT.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
Jesse Kelly. You're listening to The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is The Jesse Kelly Show on an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. I'm getting behind, so I have a bunch of stuff I want to get to, so I want to dig right into this really quickly. There's an article out in Breitbart right now from DC Insider about the hit job on Justice Thomas being part of an effort to, quote, undermine the court. And they go on to describe how multiple communist media outlets like the New York Times and the Atlantic and ProPublica, how they've been going after Clarence Thomas. And I think there's some confusion as to what's happening here. We have to see the big picture and see what communists are doing. The communist does not ever run up against a wall and stop. Throw his hands up. Oh, dang. I guess that didn't work out. The communist only sees things he hasn't conquered, remember? The Supreme Court, while it's actually been very, very disappointing, has made some big rulings in our favor recently, overturning Roe versus Wade and things like that. And the communist hates it. And the Supreme Court keeps striking down ridiculous, unconstitutional things like Biden tries to do, like paying off, oh, here's your student loans and things like that. You can't do that. Supreme Court keeps saying, oh, no, what? That's ridiculous. No. Well, the communist doesn't get rejected by the court and goes home and sits and twiddles his thumbs or maybe has a moment of, wow, I guess I was trying to do the wrong thing. Dang it, I better change tactics. That's not how the communist thinks. The communist only sees something else that needs to be conquered. What you're seeing right now against Clarence Thomas is only a little preview of what's to come. You know how I've been warning about the January 6th prisoners and how they're a preview of what's to come? And now you're seeing part of that preview with what they're doing to Trump. And when they're done with Trump, they're going to move on to the next guy and then move on to you. Well, the same thing you're seeing right now with the court. What they're doing to Clarence Thomas has nothing to do with Clarence Thomas. He's the appetizer. They're going after Clarence Thomas because the communists are going to destroy the Supreme Court. They are. They've floated the idea forever, and they always end up backing off because it looks too dangerous about packing the Supreme Court, essentially expanding it. Oh, we'll just have 15 judges and put all our own dirty commies on there, and then we get whatever we want. You know they're actually going to do that one day, right? They are. Not going to be tomorrow. They don't have the political capital to try that now. They're going to do that one day. The communist is never going to sit and allow one little court to hold him back from doing all the things he wants to do to you. He would never stand for that. And we know the useless low-T GOP in the House and Senate, they're never going to actually stand up for us and block anything. They're too busy yelling at Tommy Tuberville for not letting in a bunch of woke generals.
You just denied this lady a promotion. You did that. And she has got zero to do.
Why are you gay?
Yeah, we're not gonna get any help there. So if the Supreme Court is holding back communism, they're just going to destroy it like they do everything else. They're never going to allow that to get in the way. Ever, 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 ever. Jesse, what are good questions to ask primary candidates? Ask them what they think about the FBI. There is no better question at this point in time to ask a potential Republican who wants to represent you what they think about the FBI. If you hear the good men and women at the FBI, anything like that, well, it's just a few bad apples at the top, but for the most part, they do great work protecting this country. If you hear anything along those lines, you have a system-serving, lickspittle, low-T loser who's never going to defend you at all from the Cheka that is coming for you. They are. Ask the Republicans what they think about the FBI, because either this organization ceases to exist or America does. It is that serious. Nations do not survive secret state police agencies. We just had a story that barely made the news showing an FBI team that was assigned to investigate Joe Biden's crimes actually spent years covering Joe Biden's crimes up while they spied on the Donald Trump campaign. That is not an organization with, quote, a few bad apples. That organization can no longer exist in any form, not in name, not as an accounting service, not as a coordination service. Every single FBI agent must be fired. Many of them must go to prison, demo the building once they're all out of it, and never, ever, 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 ever create a federal police agency ever again. Because a federal police agency is simply something the communists will take over and then weaponize against their enemies. Ask your primary candidates, ask your GOP representatives to tell you what they think about the FBI. Unless you get something along the lines of what I just said, then when the time comes to defund that organization, your low-T GOPer will wimp out. They're going to do the old Ken Bob.
I've decided, Andrea, I'm not going to seek re-election.
And, you too.
Yeah, I am joining Kay and probably some others in the near future. But I've decided that it is time for me to do some other things. I always have been disappointed with our inability in Congress to deal with major issues. And I'm.
You don't want a Ken Buck, you better ask some hard questions. You have to ask yourself hard questions too, remember. Like, are my towels decent? Have I been cheating myself with the towels I've been using? You reward yourself with a hot shower, and then you cheat yourself drying off? You have these super soft towels that don't absorb anything, or you have the absorbent towels that feel like you're drying off with cheesecloth? Why don't you just go get a six-piece towel set from MyPillow? They're called My Towels. They absorb, and they're the softest freaking towels I've ever used in my life. Introductory sale price, $29.98 for a six-piece towel set. You can upgrade to the designer premium line for just $20 more. That's 50% in savings. MyPillow.com. Click on that big radio listener special square and use the promo code Jesse. Stop cheating yourself with your towels. MyPillow.com, promo code Jesse, or call 800-845-0544.
He doesn't care if you believe him, but he's right. Jesse Kelly.
I'm Maria Konnikova.
And I'm Nate Silver.
And our podcast, Risky Business, is a show about making better decisions. Both Nate and I are journalists who moonlight as poker players. We've both won, and I have to say lost, hundreds of thousands of dollars playing poker. And poker is a lens that we're going to use to approach this entire show, because poker isn't just about playing cards. It's actually about how to make good decisions. It's an entire framework for thinking about the world.
In addition to poker, we'll be talking about the wide world of gambling, so sports betting, for example, plus the news, politics, it is an election year, and personal decisions, too.
Like whether I should call a plumber or fix my shower myself.
Tune into Risky Business every Thursday.
Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday, and I'm way behind, so let's get into it. All the questions I can possibly get into as we motor through this. Jesse, could we argue that your rental car narrative, or that under your rental car narrative, you're a communist? Reason I say this is look how the commie trash turn on each other. Like a rental car. He's talking about how I talk about politicians. Remember, I don't fall in love with them ever. Running for president, Congress, Senate, I don't give a crap. I know it's the normal thing for people to fall in love with them. They wave their bumper stickers and t-shirts and hats, and I love him. I've never been that guy. They're all rental cars to me, all of them. You use politicians to get where you want to go, and the second you get there, you dump them and you forget about them and you never think about them again. Now, does that make me a communist? I don't know what it makes me, but I'll tell you one thing. I've been pretty happy with me. You know why? Because when these guys screw up, and they all do all the time, I don't have to run and make excuses for them. I don't make excuses for them. You work for me. There's the right, and this is a human nature thing, has a real inverted view of politics. Because we have a savior complex and we want someone to come save us, when someone comes along, we think we're under them, that they are leading us. You tell me your orders, boss, and I'll go. No. You work for me. I don't work for you. I make demands of you, and you will deliver on my demands, or I will choose somebody else. That's the bottom line. That's how politics is supposed to be in this country. They work for us, but we don't do that. We get loyal to one guy or worship one guy, and then we get mad when other people aren't worshiping that guy. Screw that guy. I don't care who your guy is. They're all going to disappoint you in the end because they're all just men. We are all failed and flawed. And they're all going to let you down in the end. So use them and dump them the same way they do to you. Jesse, I have noticed that as the left descends further and further into communism, that the right has started to promote and lift up more, quote, disaffected liberals as former leftists, to the point where in many cases they are actually leading movements. While I don't think we are in a position to turn away people who are done voting for communists, I think that allowing these people to lead the right is suicide. The problem I have is that they are not conservatives. They're not even really anti-communists. They're still just liberals, just more reasonable ones. Am I overthinking this? No, you're 100% right. You're 100% right. You know what we love? And I'm glad we love it. I'm glad we do. It's a good thing to love this. Everybody, no matter your belief system, loves the story of the prodigal son, don't they? Everyone knows the story. Everyone loves the story. Kid grows up as a rich kid, takes all the money his dad gives him, and goes and blows it all on food, booze, and hookers, and ends up flat broke and busted living with the pigs. And he comes home hoping just to work as a slave for his dad. And instead of his dad beating him up and yelling at him, his dad hugs him and says, "Welcome home, son. I love you." And we love the parable. We love this. Who doesn't love that story? It's because it's a story of redemption, right? Everyone loves a redemption story because, let's be honest, we all need one. I mean, I can't speak for you. Nobody needs more redemption than me. Nobody. So we love that story. And we love it when somebody who's a former communist piece of trash begins to look around and realize that they've been serving a demonic death movement and they don't want to be involved in that anymore. And so they start to cozy up to us or maybe think that, well, okay, maybe these guys aren't the bad guys. And they start to come on over to our side. We love that. And all that is good, right? All that is really, really good. The problem is it actually ties right back to the savior complex thing we were talking about before. If it's a person of influence at all, we will follow them. We will actually demand that they lead. Chris, we had it earlier, and I never played it this week, so it's going to be audio you have, if you don't mind. We shouldn't be doing this live, but sorry, I'm unprofessional. Bill Maurer at HBO, he's on the audio list for this week, and he was talking about college education and how you shouldn't send your kids to school and things like that. Anyway, while I filibuster here for a minute, you know what? While I play Frito Bandito, go ahead and look that up for me, Chris. Ay, 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 ay. You know what? Forget Frito Bandito. I'm going to keep talking here for a second while he does this. You see this with Hollywood actors a lot. Anyway, all right, he has it. All right, play Bill Maurer.
To the older folks, I say, college today is not the college you remember. And to the younger people, I say, don't. Don't do it. You don't need 4 years and a lifetime of crippling debt to learn to hate America when you can just watch 5 minutes of Selling Sunset. If your parents have 300 grand they absolutely need to flush down the toilet, put it in crypto, or buy a van, go to a national park and feed yourself to a bear.
Okay. You're probably listening to that the same way I did and kind of nodding along. Hey, yeah, you're daggone right. Screw those commie universities. Yeah. You see people on the right gleefully sharing Bill Maurer videos and gleefully talking about every time Bill Maurer says something that's not totally Chairman Mao. Oh, look at Maurer. Maurer's waking up. See, Maurer gets it, everybody. Bill Maurer is as responsible as anyone in this country for the despicable nature of the left and for how they've taken over every institution. And yet he will utter something fairly middle of the road once every 2 months, and the right will work themselves up into a lather thinking that we have a new prodigal son. But the prodigal son didn't send dad a letter that kind of apologized, but he still wanted to keep doing what he was doing. The prodigal son came home and begged for forgiveness. It's like, you know what? This is a great example. This NYU professor.
Well, I was on the board of my kid's school during COVID. I wanted a harsher lockdown policy, and in retrospect, I was wrong. The damage to kids of keeping them out of school longer was greater than the risks. But here's the bottom line. Myself, our great people, the CDC, I'd like to thank the governor. We were all operating with imperfect information, and we were doing our best.
So yeah, it's well, so.
Is that an apology? Is that an apology for child suicide going through the roof? For how many people who had their lives, businesses, wealth destroyed by your policies? Hey, look, I guess I didn't get it right, but we were all imperfect at the time. Is that a reconciliation? Should I reconcile with that guy? Did you hear an apology there? I'll play it for you again. Is this an apology?
Well, I was on the board of my kid's school during COVID. I wanted a harsher lockdown policy, and in retrospect, I was wrong. The damage to kids of keeping them out of school longer was greater than the risks. But here's the bottom line. Myself, our great people, the CDC, I'd like to thank the governor. We were all operating with imperfect information, and we were doing...
Yeah, no, you should be arrested and thrown in prison because you wanted the American people arrested. You wanted the American people to have their freedoms taken away because you were scared about a virus And because you're a tyrant, you need to go to prison because that's where tyrants belong. And don't think for a second you're going to try to sell me on that. That wasn't prodigal son talk. That was excuse talk. That was forgive my past, well, understandable discretions talk. That wouldn't know coming home. Absolutely not. I'm supposed to praise that guy? Nah, not me. Got the wrong one there. All right, one more segment of questions. Before we get to those, let's get to this. Let's get to your shooting and my shooting. You see, firearms training has advanced to the point that it's not that you can improve. You can get really, really good without firing a shot. Mantis X is how you do that. You dry fire practice in your home. You, your phone, an app, getting real-time coaching, drills. Mantis X is used by everybody from novices who are just starting to shoot to the Green Berets. The Green Berets use Mantis X. Do you think maybe they know what they're doing? Mantis X is available to you and me. I practice in the comfort of my home. MantisX.com is what the professionals use and the amateurs, whatever you are. Go practice and make sure you're ready. I hope you never need to be, but make sure. MantisX.com. We'll be back.
Fighting for your freedom every day.
USA! USA!
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final segment of the Jesse Kelly Show, and then we are checking out of here on an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Don't forget, you can download the whole show, iHeart, Google, Spotify, iTunes, they podcast it. So if you missed a second, including last night's history, you history lovers, I know we did a bunch of that last night, all that can be downloaded. You can email me. Love, hate, death threats, ask Dr. Jesse questions. We don't throw them away. We'll get to them next week. Jesse@JesseKellyShow.com. Also, don't forget your energy levels. That cup of coffee you need at 2 or 3 in the afternoon every day. It doesn't have to be like that. There are natural herbal supplements. You get the right ones in you, you're going to be stunned by how you feel. At the end of the day now, I still have that thing where my leg is bouncing up and down as I do the radio show. I've been on a male vitality stack for over a year. I just have so much freaking energy. I feel so good. My mood is so good. Male vitality stacks and female vitality stacks and armor and chocolate powder and chalk, C-H-O-Q, natural herbal supplements, and don't pay full price. My goodness. Get a subscription, which you can cancel anytime. They're wonderful about that. Chalk.com, promo code Jesse, gets you 35% off the subscription. All right? For the lifetime of the subscription, I should note. Chalk.com, promo code Jesse. All right. We got like 10 minutes left or something like that. Let's see how many we can do.
And now,
here's a headline.
By the, go, you know the thing.
Emails.
We didn't get to.
Oracle, if Trump wins in 24, will people be willing to work under him? He's saying cabinet members, AG, other appointed positions. After seeing the radical commies indict everyone around Trump, would anyone open themselves up to the legal battles and so on and so forth? This is how DeSantis and Haley and Ramos need to position their campaigns to start eating away at Trump's lead. Your thoughts? Okay, one, that wouldn't work to eat away at Trump's lead. You're not going to eat away at Trump's lead. If that's your goal, if your goal is to bounce Trump out, you're not going to eat away at Trump's lead by describing the various ways the system is going to victimize him. You can talk about the ways the system's going to victimize him, as we do, but that should not be a campaign talking point. That's a here's the status of the country talking point. So no, that would be a bad tactic for any of them to take. Two, yes, it's going to destroy Trump. In fact, it's hurting him badly with his reelection campaign. The system has turned him into the Antichrist. They're disbarring his lawyers for pizza. Insane things they're doing. And so he already had personnel problems anyway. Just doesn't hire very good people. Now they're virtually all scumbags. Not all of them, but most of them are scumbags because only the scumbags will take the job. The others will not because they don't want to be oppressed by this evil system we have. It's a really ugly, unfair deal, but that's the way it is. Oracle, what's the deal with redheads? Are your feelings from a personal relationship that you've been involved in or seen someone else in, or am I just uninformed on the topic? Please elaborate. His name is Mike. Tell you what, Mike. Go date one. Let me know how it goes for you. All right, pal? Listen. You know how God, oftentimes, there's an understanding in nature, if you spend any time in nature, that bright colors are oftentimes a warning system. You know, poison dart frogs. If you touch one, you'll die. So God made them really, really bright. Poisonous spiders. You know, a black widow has a big red mark on it just to let you know that it's there. God did that same thing with redheads. He knew how hot they were. He knew that you were going to be just sucked in by their hotness. But he put that air there to let you know there's danger here. Look, you want to grab one? Fine. You're going to end up the same way as the guy who licks the poison dart frog. Jesse, what is the thing or activity you miss the most from putting your money where your time and morals are? Is it watching football, playing fantasy football, drinking Bud Light, watching Disney movies, so on and so forth? I love the show. For me, it's watching football. Honestly, I don't miss fantasy football, though I had a blast doing that. I don't drink much anymore. I'm no saint, but that's just something I've really cut a lot of, mostly out of my life. I just don't feel like it adds to my life. I did way too much of it when I was younger. I had a problem with it anyway. I just don't want to go back there. Disney movies, screw them. I don't care. We'll watch the old ones if we want. Just between you and me, I told you this before, I really, really miss watching the Giants on Sunday. I miss watching a big Sunday night football game, Monday night football game. You know, all American stuff. Chicken wings and beer, having the boys over, let's watch some football. I miss it, man. I'm not going back, but I miss it, and I probably always will. Remember, I was such a hardcore fan. The wife and I, we were pretty newly married, 3 or 4 years, and we'd been saving up for 3 or 4 years so we could afford to take a vacation somewhere. My New York Giants made the Super Bowl, that Super Bowl they made against the Patriots, and they were playing the game in Arizona when I was living in Arizona. We spent our vacation fund on 2 Super Bowl tickets and went to that game. We still have pictures of it. My son, my oldest son, James, when he was a baby, because I have the coolest wife, we decorated his room. He had a New York Giants room. We painted the room New York Giants colors. Like, that's how hardcore into it we were. And now I haven't seen a game in 3 or 4 years. I couldn't tell you who the starting quarterback is. And I miss it. I do. Oh, great linguistical oracle. When you become all-powerful dictator, assuming you allow various branches of government to continue or just give the peasants the illusion of control, can you ban anyone in any level of government from ever using the word investment? It's literally, he says, just code for spending on something that will be government waste. He says his name is Adam. Yeah, look, communists lie all the time. They always lie about investment. But you should understand something about Dictator Jesse. I want to be clear. Oh, yeah, there are going to be some people who are very much not going to enjoy my short rule. 5 years. That's all I need. It's 5 years. But there aren't going to be government programs when I'm done. I'm not there to preserve them. I'm not there to protect them. They're going away. Entire branches, most of the federal government will be completely eliminated. Budget zeroed out, every employee fired, many employees arrested. There will be a lot of people at the IRS, FBI, CIA, NSA that will go to prison, and that organization will cease to exist, and the buildings will be demoed to the ground. That is how Dictator Jesse will do things. There aren't going to be government programs left over. Jesse, the immigrants of the early 1900s, when they came to this country, they weren't given anything except an opportunity. What changed? Well, what changed was politicians in this country saw an opportunity to co-opt those immigrants for new votes. So instead of just leaving them on their own to make it the American way, you promise them a bunch of taxpayer-funded handouts, plus they have no loyalty to America. In the end, you have a whole bunch of people who will vote Democrat the rest of their lives. Now,
put your phone down. Go spend time with your family and your community and enjoy your weekend, and I will talk to you Monday. That's all.
I'm Maria Konnikova.
And I'm Nate Silver.
And our new podcast, Risky Business, is a show about making better decisions. We're both journalists who moonlight as poker players, and that's the lens we're going to use to approach this entire show.
We're going to be discussing everything from high-stakes poker to personal questions.
Like whether I should call a plumber or fix my shower myself.
And of course, we'll be talking about the election, too.
Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.